Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the third season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops on your WNIN 88.3. Give us a call tonight at 812-426-7400 or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is my good friend Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to the show.
Evan, can you believe it?
No.
We said it every week, I think last year, that it was hard to believe how fast time goes by, but we're back, and I think we're better than ever, right?
We hope so. That's We've done right. a lot of off-season training.
We have. Absolutely.
You know, most people don't realize what Chad and I do during the offseason to prepare for Red Blue Hoops because we have so much passion to bring this show to our basketball fans here in the Tri-State and across America and potentially around the globe.
Absolutely. We're international is what I hear, so that's pretty cool.
And remember, folks, we'd love to have your phone calls at 812-426-7400 or tweet us.
At Red Blue Hoops. Send them out, folks.
There's been a lot of things going on during the basketball season. The college basketball season has gotten really exciting here in the last couple of weeks, just this week alone.
It has.
A lot of great games, but we need to have a little bit of time of reflection.
I thought you might skip over that.
Oh, no. No, I'm a big fella, can handle everything that comes along the way in regard to Kentucky basketball. So since our last show, Chad, what happened?
Well, I guess it was last March, yeah. Poorly seeded teams, by the way. That was kind of disappointing.
I talked about that offline.
Yeah, we did. But we were able to meet you guys in the second round, or I guess the third round now. Oh, Kentucky, yeah. A 4 seed. Indiana, a 5 seed. Indiana was not the favorite, which at the time for me, I was surprised because I thought Indiana was better last year. I just did. I felt it. And, hey, one of Crean's best coached games I think he's had. Thomas Bryant, if you remember, second half was huge. The difference maker.
He dominated us inside.
Kentucky did not have an answer. Was it Scal?
Scal, all season, as you mm-hmm. know, was just pounded by the fan base for being an underperforming 5-star recruit.
Absolutely.
Still got drafted in the first round by the Sacramento Kings. But, no, Thomas Bryant, that was his big coming out party
on a
national level.
It was. He played well. Yogi played well. Mm-hmm. The team played well. It was a good team win. I love always beating Kentucky, but I hated to see that game in that third round.
No question. I mean, Kentucky won the SEC. They were co-champions in the regular season. We met Texas A&M in the finals of the SEC tournament. We win in overtime. A&M gets a 3 seed. Kentucky gets a 4 seed. And then you guys were Big Ten champs, right?
Evan, Indiana won the Big Ten by 2 games last year.
Yeah.
15-3.
And get a 5 seed.
Get a 5 seed. Rodney Dangerfield, baby.
I love meeting in the tournament. It gives our schools a chance to play against since we don't play in the regular season anymore. But that game should have been a Sweet 16 game for sure. Mm-hmm. I think it would have been really good for TV and all the ratings and all that kind of stuff. But unfortunately, it didn't happen, and you guys beat us fair and square. You just beat us inside, and our big guys didn't show up, and you guys shut down Jamal Murray.
OG, if you remember right, blocked his three-point shot twice in that game.
Yeah.
So that was
significant.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. Well, that was a disappointing loss for us, a disappointing way to lose the season. But, hey, here we are. A new season's upon us.
Absolutely.
And both teams came in this year ranked in the top 10 or so in all the rankings, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. Yep.
You guys have had some good wins early on this year.
We have. Yeah. It's been a very awkward start to the year, actually, for us. But we'll see.
But I tell you what, folks, we'll get to some games here. But before I forget, we have a special announcement tonight. You have the ability to show your support for WNIN and Red Blue Hoops. This Saturday night, I'm donating 2 Kentucky basketball tickets, Lower Arena in Rupp Arena, as Kentucky hosts Arkansas. Again, this Saturday night, the game is tipping off at 7:30 Central, 8:30 Eastern. And to get these tickets, we have set up a special ability to pledge tonight. You can make a pledge to WNIN in the amount of $200, and I can get you the tickets to this Saturday night's game, Kentucky hosting Arkansas.
Awesome.
So you guys can call in. You can contact the station tonight during the show. Give us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. We need some calls. Let's talk some hoops.
Yeah, I figured that, you know, with everything that's happened here recently, Chad, again, I'm surprised with the show starting tonight. 3 weeks ago, I thought both teams would be ranked in the top 10 coming into the night's first show, but things have become a little bit rocky in B-Town.
Yep.
So kind of give me some insight with what's been happening in Bloomington the last couple weeks.
Yeah, started the year out 10-2, had the big win against Kansas, which got the fan base. Everyone was pumped.
And that game was neutral?
For good reason. Huh?
Was that a neutral court
game? It was. That game was played in Hawaii. Big kickoff there. Kansas, always a good team. And we played them well. That game actually ended up with a couple of our players, Bryant and Robert Johnson, in foul trouble, fouled out of the game. And the game went to overtime. So I thought, we played great, but we're not going to pull it out. Freshman hit some shots. James Blackman looked completely healthy, played well, 26 points, and we pulled that one out. And actually, after that game, it was funny. There's a Jeff, is it Jeff Goodman from ESPN?
Yes.
He moved Indiana to number one on his power rankings after that one game. That was pretty interesting.
Well, that actually, I don't know if you know much about Jeff Goodman, but when he talks really highly about your team, it's traditionally been a bad omen.
It's worked out this time, for sure.
Guy. Well, look here, folks. We have our first caller, and I guess it's our number one caller in the history of the
it's
show.
Her.
Again, we're in our third season now, and we have Geraldine the Cat on the phone. Geraldine, welcome to Red Blue Hoop, Season 3.
Hey, welcome back to the air, you guys, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'm just glad to hear you guys back out there. It's a pretty much, from my perspective, it's a barren sports radio landscape until you guys get on the air, so I'm glad to hear you.
Well, we appreciate your support. Do you have any comments or questions for us tonight?
Well, a comment, first of all, very generous donation you've made of those tickets. I know they're great seats, and somebody needs to make a big buck pledge out there and get those seats, because that would be a great event for somebody. If I didn't have a commitment Saturday night, I'd bid on them myself. So anyway, that was very nice of you to make that donation. As a public radio supporter myself, I appreciate what you're doing for public radio. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for the comments. Appreciate that, Geraldine.
And then I have a question really about another player, not even remotely connected to either of your guys' teams.
Uh-oh.
I'm just curious about your perspective on the Grayson Allen debacle and what you felt about it, what you think about how it's been handled by his coach, and how you think your respective coaches might have handled something like that.
You want to take that first?
I will. Well, Geraldine, we greatly appreciate the call and your support for Red Blue Hoops on WNIN. And Chad and I, offline earlier this week, were speaking about the Grayson Allen situation. And I'll just give you my perspective first. Number one, he committed this tripping scenario twice that was caught on video, clearly. And Coach K, to our knowledge, did not do anything of significant discipline at all.
Correct.
So the stage was set last year, in my opinion, that this kid was given the ability to blatantly trip an opposing player during a game without any discipline or ramifications. So this year they're playing, was it Elon?
Elon, the basketball power.
Yeah, incredible which are game. Ranked probably in the bottom 250. Mm-hmm. I don't even know, but they're not a basketball power. So the tripping incident occurs, and then he gets up and he chirps at the Elon player. Then he goes ballistic on the ref. Then they get him to the bench. And he's uncontrollable on the bench. I think his episode on the bench was just out of control.
Scary.
Duke assistant coach John Shire could not get Grayson under control. So then the media pressure finally got so intense, Coach K had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he comes out with this indefinite suspension that lasted all of
one game, Evan.
Oh, my God.
That's huge,
Chad,
isn't it?
Seriously. How do you feel about this?
Duke holier than thou, you know. They kind of can do whatever they want, I guess. But I took that as, he's done it twice. I would have threw it.
Now
he did
time.
It twice last
yeah.
year. This was his third time. My thing is, he comes back. What happens if he goes a few games, no issues, everything's going, then he has a little incident, trips a guy, except this time, catches a guy off balance and he falls, breaks wrist, breaks could be worse, whatever.
Oh, absolutely.
Who's on the hook for something like that? If it was my business I ran, I couldn't – too much liability to have kid like that on a court.
No, no one that works at my company three times, something like that, absolutely out the door.
Yep.
And then as a follow-up to that, it was a couple of days later, I think Coach K was interviewed by Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick radio show. And when Dan Patrick questioned Coach K, he said something like, Coach, how did Grayson explain this to you? He said, what do you mean? Explain what? There's nothing to explain. He said, so Dan, are you saying you've never committed a human mistake before? And he got really defensive and never answered the question.
Evan, you sent that to me. And if you're a basketball fan and you're curious about that, I would encourage you to listen to that excerpt, because it was a very odd explanation from a guy that is kind of the face of basketball, coaches USA Basketball.
Yep.
Duke's a powerhouse. Very disappointed in how he's handled that whole thing.
I agree.
Now he's got back surgery. Interesting.
Yeah, it's
interesting
that all of a sudden Duke gets pounded by Virginia Tech, and then Coach K all of a sudden has back problems. And in regard to the back surgery, I read an article, I guess, this week. So the games that Coach K is going to miss, the selection committee has announced they're going to give that special consideration. Now, what's that all about?
Unbelievable.
So what if a player gets hurt?
Yeah.
So do you get special consideration and your player's hurt? No.
Unbelievable. Well, and Jeff Capel is an experienced coach. He's coached some teams, Oklahoma, I think, in the past. That's Duke, holier than thou, kind of getting to do whatever they want.
It is. Well, callers, again, we love getting your calls. You can call us at 812-426 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
We'd love comments or questions. And reminder, folks, you can make a pledge, $200, for lower arena tickets this Saturday night at Rupp Arena as Kentucky hosts Arkansas, to show your support for WNIN and Red Blue Hoops.
That's awesome.
So here we are, 2017. It's a very special year.
I know where you're going with this.
This, folks, just as a reminder, this is the 30th anniversary of Indiana Hoosiers' last national championship game, 1987, when the shot went in on the left baseline to defeat Syracuse, and the shot was hit by Keith Smart.
Keith Smart, that's correct.
Heck of a shot. And so, you know, since it's been 30 years since IU's hung the banner, we wanted to have a little bit of a segment on each show, just kind of like, where were you then? What were you doing then? If you want to call in with a comment about where you were 30 years ago. I mean, Chad was still wearing diapers when they won.
I was nine.
Oh, okay, yeah, you were nine. Okay, yeah. My apologies there.
Yeah.
But as an example, each week we'll do a little bit of a countdown. We'll do a countdown of the top 20 movies and top 20 songs in 87. Going from 20 to 19 all the way up to 1. But the top or number 20 movie was Eddie Murphy Raw, which was a stand-up movie.
Yeah.
And the number 19 movie was The Living Daylights.
I don't know.
Who starred
in
that movie? Anybody know? The Living Daylights? Was that like what's the guy's name that played in, I can't remember. But anyway, if anybody knows the answer to that, The Living Daylights, who the star was, let us know. On the song list, number 20, At This Moment by none other Billy Vera and the Beaters.
I've heard that song. Did not know that was the name of
it. You were singing
group.
It off the air earlier.
I was. It wasn't very good. But.
And number 19 was Moni Moni by Billy Idol. So there's your 30th anniversary segment for Indiana basketball. Back to this year. Go ahead.
Indiana fans, in 20 years, the worm will be sitting here, and it's going to change. It just has to. The law of averages says that. Evan will be 65.
I'll be 66.
All right. I'll be 58, and we'll be talking about the Hoosiers and how Kentucky needs to dust off their banners. Or they might be taken away. We don't know that, I guess.
I've heard that a lot. Yeah. I've heard that a lot. Yeah. That's true. And this year, Berger says the Cubs won, right? Yeah, 30 years ago.
Oh, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good right there. We have Walker Beck interning for the show again, running social media. So you guys send in your Twitter questions at Red Blue Hoops. We have Sam behind the engineering desk back there. Is that the correct terminology? Engineering desk? Technical desk?
Yeah, I guess that works.
What would you call it?
The board opping.
Okay.
Well, you do a great job.
We appreciate it, Sam.
Absolutely.
And Steve Berger is running the phone. So give us a call, 812-426-7400.
Okay. And Indiana fans, can I say something real quick here?
Go ahead.
We've lost, unfortunately, 4 of 6 games. I know I've talked to a ton of fans. Let's get some calls and discuss that. I like to hear the opinion on what's going on out there, what people think. And maybe Tom's listening, and we can fix it. All right? I don't know.
So you've lost 4 out of your last 6.
We have.
2 of which were at home.
2 of which were at home. And how about this stat? I just couldn't believe it. I had to double take it. Those 4 losses, that's 160 minutes of game action, right? Times 40.
Yeah.
Indiana has led, take a guess on how many minutes they've led out of that 160.
30.
21 minutes.
Really?
21 minutes.
That's it.
Yeah, it's incredible. So we're not getting off to a good start.
Oh, Mr. Jim Gotze, one of our regular Twitter activists on Regular Hoops, says, that's a James Bond movie starring Timothy Dalton as 007. That's 30 years ago?
The Living Daylight is? Is that what that was called?
Is that right? Timothy Dalton was 007 30 years ago? My gosh, we're getting old. Time flies. But, the Nebraska loss. Hey, Chad, we have another caller. Caller
right.
number 2, season 3. Aaron, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. So January 18th will be my 30th birthday, and I live with the constant concern that I've cursed the Indiana Hoosiers. Do you guys believe in curses?
Well, the Cubs did. The GOAT.
Yeah.
The Yankees and the Red Sox, when they trade, what do they call that curse? The Babe Ruth deal?
Curse of the Bambino?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some other curses in sports?
I don't know. I can't think of it.
The GOAT for the Cubs?
The Cubs curse the GOAT.
Yep. So you're
right.
So on January 18th, you turn 30?
Yes, sir.
I don't think it's your fault. Are you a big Indiana fan, obviously?
Huge, huge Indiana fan.
Okay, so
who's your favorite Indiana player of all time?
Being as young as I am, I'd have to go with A.J. Guyton.
A.J. Guyton.
He was a great player.
He's a nice player. He could shoot
great
the ball.
Guard.
Tom Coverdale.
Tom Coverdale, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I have one question for you guys if you have another minute.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Better in-game coach, Crean or Calipari? I kind of know what my answer is, but I'd like to hear you guys.
Better in-game? Is that what he said?
Yeah. Better in-game
coach.
Yeah,
in-game coach.
You know,
I know
I've heard a lot of debate about this, mm-hmm. even on the UK fan side, about – I get comments from people all the time that Calipari is a very poor in-game coach, which I can understand. He has lost some really significant games making decisions that I've questioned. As an example, slowing the ball down against Wisconsin 2015 Final Four. I mean, he took the air out of the ball. Stopped attacking. Yep. I personally disagree with that. You had the best team, the best athletes, freaking attack and go and go. I mean, I was in the stands yelling,
yeah,
go, 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 and he didn't do it. But on the flip side of that, look at his 2011 team led by Brandon Knight. They weren't that good of a team coming in the tournament. Well, guess what? He beat number one seed Ohio State. Next game,
yeah,
he beats Hall of Fame Roy Williams. So he has a lot of data that says he can adapt during games and do a good job, but he also has some data that says there's some games he may have given up.
Sure.
Some tough losses. So I can see the argument both ways. I would have to say Calipari, just because his resume, he's a Hall of Fame coach.
Oh, yeah.
He's won at UMass. He took Memphis from the coffin of basketball to the national championship game.
He did.
And he's brought Kentucky back to the glory. So can he coach in games? I'd say – he's decent, at least.
Yeah, I think.
I'm ashamed to say I think I agree.
Yeah, Aaron, I'm with you on that, too.
Don't be ashamed. You're a person with logic.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good point.
That's good. No, hey, Chad, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate your support to Red Blue Hoops. We need to go to a quick break. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
All All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops Season 3 here at WNIN 88.3. And we are live streaming WNIN.org. That's why we're a global radio show, award-winning radio show.
Absolutely.
And again, looking forward to some more calls, 812-426-7400 or
tweet us at Red Blue Hoops.
And our phone line is hot. We now have, I think, a return caller from last year. We have Kim Payton. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, good evening.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
We're doing good. She kind of sounds like Geraldine the cat, doesn't she?
Man, that's amazing.
It is.
Actually,
well, I think it would be awesome, Chad, if you bought those tickets and you and Lisa went to that game.
Hey, whoa, time out. Before the show started, I said before we made the decision to bring these tickets to the air tonight, I said, Chad, do you want them? I'll give them to you. He said, no,
yeah.
I'll pass on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I'm sorry.
Last year I had a huge Indiana fan that works for me that I've mentioned his name to you. He took our tickets, went over there, just wanted to see what it's all about.
No kidding.
Had a great experience, and he said he wants to go again. I'm telling you, when you get to Rupp and get to see it firsthand in person, you could be a changed man.
I don't think so. It's good try. Good sales pitch there.
He does wear a lot of blue at his job, and he looks good in blue.
Oh, you can't say that on the air.
Yes, you can.
Are you kidding me?
Kim, you just got Caller of the Night award right there.
You're playing into the competition's hands here. Are you kidding me? Come on, Mom.
You know I love you, Chad.
I know that.
But I am going to ask a question about Yogi. They're probably really missing him about now. And don't you think they need to have screen has to have some discipline in that?
He does. That's a great point. Miss Yogi, miss his leadership. I've heard a lot of folks that say with Crean even last year that the game or the team changed when Yogi just took over the team and was really the coach on the court. So they don't have anybody like that this year, and that's causing a lot of problems. That's a really good point. We miss him.
Okay.
Hey, Kim.
Okay, well, I'll see you on TV at that Arkansas-Kentucky game in the front row, buddy.
Hey, Kim, I got a question for you.
Okay.
Kind of walk me through, what's your traditional way of watching Indiana basketball games? Where are you? Who are you with? That kind of stuff.
Well, sometimes we all can't be together, but there's a lot of texting going on.
There is. That's a good
a
bit.
A lot of unhappy faces.
Uh-huh. Mostly happy, but when things go wrong, we get unhappy.
Oh, absolutely.
We're intense. We're competitive folks.
So how many people are on your, like, if you have a text going during a game, how many people on your thread?
Probably about
text.
Five.
Yeah, there's about five.
About five.
Yeah.
Who leads the family in texting during a game? Chad?
Well, no, because if they're not winning, we don't hear from him very much.
Well, he's on Twitter a lot. I know that.
My wife told me I need to relax and stay off Twitter and texting during the game, and she's right about that because I feel better. But I can't do it.
I
struggle with that. Yeah.
Kim, anything else tonight?
No, you guys have a wonderful new year.
All right.
Thank you for the call. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for the call.
That's awesome. You know, let's get back to that previous caller, Aaron. You know, we had a little short time with that right before the break, and I do get that question or comment a lot about in-game coaching, and a lot of people say Cal Perry is terrible at it. But when you look at the body of work, I mean, let's look at his 96 UMass team.
Yeah.
I mean, he – beat Kentucky by double digits. Kentucky's, they say, greatest team ever on a neutral site against Pitino, a Hall of Fame coach.
Mm-hmm.
So if he was such a terrible in-game coach, how does he pull that off? I mean,
I think coaching is so hard, right? And I think these coaches a lot of times are judged for what they didn't do versus for what
exactly.
they did do.
Exactly.
So Calipari, for example, I'll throw one out that I can remember. I think he's a good coach, but people are going to go back to that Wisconsin-Kentucky game in 15.
Yeah.
And down the stretch, he did a bad job of what he was doing. I don't think – a couple of possessions, like two or three straight air balls down the stretch, wasn't it?
We had three straight shot clock violations.
Yeah.
We had zero in the season before that.
And you guys had the best center in the country in
Carl Towns.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that night, we saw that offense surface that season – when we played at Louisville and we were up 15 late.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, with, let's say 8 minutes to go. And my timing may be off, but let's just say it's about 8 minutes to go. And all of a sudden that offense surfaced and we only end up winning by eight. And behind the scenes, he's known for counting possessions from his NBA days. A lot of coaches count possessions.
That's the analytics and all that kind of
thing. Yeah, they get into all that, right?
Yeah.
And we did it against Kansas in the 2012 championship. We were up 17, could have beat Kansas by 30. We ended up winning by 9. So we knew what the offense looked like.
Mm-hmm.
So we're up 4 against Wisconsin. And as soon as they started running that offense, my son Walker and myself both started yelling, basically screaming, no, please, no, don't. Just keep attacking Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And potentially, I mean, he was on the verge of one of the greatest seasons ever.
Was that going to be 40-0 if they would have got to that point? Incredible. I think
it would have been the first undefeated season since Indiana.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and, you know, UK, Vegas said that if UK and Duke had met in the championship game, UK would have been favored more than they were favored against Wisconsin. Wisconsin was their toughest matchup by Vegas odds.
And they were a good team.
They were a really good team. They had the perfect offense to beat Kentucky.
They did.
They did. And another thing that people talk about Calipari, he is a little bit – he's a very adaptive from one year to the next based on he adapts to his roster, but he's a little bit bullheaded on his defensive philosophy.
Sure.
He loves to switch every screen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, you have a guy that cannot guard Sam Decker one-on-one with him.
Yeah, he's a nice player.
You're switching every screen, mm-hmm. so – anyway, Cal obviously is a great coach, but let's flip the tables here.
Absolutely.
How is Tom Crean as an in-game coach?
Yeah, I think he struggles with that. And again, with him too, it's not what he's done, it's what he hasn't done in a lot of ways. And you think about this year, beat Kansas, beat North Carolina, but who cares about that now, right? Fans are getting frustrated with him. But he does. Little things that I see out there on the court. Halftime adjustments, it never fails. You watch our games, and we don't get a shot up the first couple possessions after halftime. So in my mind, at halftime, you discuss, hey, on our first possession, we're looking for Thomas Bryant. We're going inside. We're going to get a shot up. And there's not really a plan of action there. And he struggles with that. And then out-of-bounds plays, he struggles with that. Most coaches will try to score on out-of-bounds plays, and Indiana struggles to get the ball in. So I was watching Bill Self. This was a stat. It was unbelievable to me that Kansas averages 10 points a game on out-of-bounds plays.
Well, go ahead. I got some comments there.
I mean, that's an incredible stat, yeah. though, isn't it?
You know who was really good at that? The best ever at UK? Billy Gillespie.
Really?
And guess who does not score on out-of-bounds plays? Coach Cal. He doesn't.
Yeah.
He has a neutral inbounds pass, and they go into regular offense.
That's interesting. I don't know. I always like to try to score on every possible play possible.
Gillespie and Tubby were really good after timeout possessions. Really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, their efficiency ratio was off the charts. But so talking about Crean, I do have a question. I've been, again, since doing the show, I'm much more observant of everything IU than I ever have been. Just trying to prepare myself to be on the opposite mic of a man of your stature. One thing I've noticed this season that I found very unique about Coach Crean, he stands next to the scores table a lot.
He does.
And then you got that little pad right there. Every scores table is like a little soft pad. Well, on that pad, he has a series of stacks of paper that are typically light blue in color. And he's looking at those papers often during the game, shuffling and reading. To my knowledge, there's not another major college Division I basketball coach in the nation that looks at stacks of papers during a basketball game.
I don't know what he's – I don't know what that is. He's probably counting deflections, and I don't really care about deflections. I need buckets, you know, in the game. I need people playing defense. And he's like that. He's got those interesting tendencies on things that he looks at. I think he overthinks as a coach.
That's what
put your five best players in. Yeah. Let's roll the balls out there and play.
So I was going to touch on. I agree with that. So when I see a coach in the middle of the heat of the moment of a game looking at papers and I'm like going from one page to the next,
they're
what's happening there?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, a basketball coach has to be like immediate reactionary. It's kind of you get the feel for each game, type of thing.
Yeah.
So I just found that interesting. Then you mentioned Thomas Bryant. I was going to ask you your opinion about his progression after the UK game last year. You thought, man, freshman, setting the stage for a huge sophomore year?
Yeah.
Is he having the sophomore slumps? Or I see a different player right now.
I do too.
He's avoiding – it seems like he's avoiding contact inside a lot.
Great point. And here's the thing. We never know about injuries. Kids are playing with injuries. We don't know that. But TB looks like a totally different player. I was thinking, watching that Wisconsin game, there was a possession late in the game. Showalter, who's a 6'1 guard, gets the ball on the 45, beats his man, and goes at Thomas Bryant. Bryant's 6'10, 255, and Bryant tries to take like a flailing charge.
Yeah, I remember
And
that.
He gets hit in the face. And, Evan, if I was 6'10", 255, and you come at me, I'm throwing you down.
Yes.
The ball's going in the stands.
Yes,
I mean,
absolutely.
It just is. You're not going to score for sure.
Yeah.
And
I remember that,
that was just an odd play, and it was a key possession. And if he's going to be a leader and a player, very disappointed in his play right now. Very.
I agree. I thought Bryant was going to have a monster year this year.
I did too.
I really do. And we have some fan interaction, which we love. Let's go to our Twitter line. This is from our good Twitter friend, Jim Gotze. He goes, in quotes, our opinions, when will IU return to the Final Four, and will Crean be the guy to take them there? Well, hold on here. Hold on. Speaking of Mr. Gotze.
I want to hear. Yeah.
Mr. Gotze's on the line. Jim, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, fellas. What's up, Walker, man?
What's up? Hi, Mr. Gotze.
Hi, guys. Hey, I want to real quickly comment on that those note cards that you were talking about there, Irv. I was at the game Tuesday night and had great seats, Dr. Jim Gores' seats, right kind of behind the bench there. And there is a guy on Crean's staff that is updating those cards during the game. They'll bring out some other stacks, and he's replacing cards and adding cards to those to those notes.
Okay. Well, see, we got some new
intel. I don't know what they're doing. Yeah.
Is there like a Jimmy John's order? Is it an order form or a Domino's?
He wants the veto with no onion.
Veto. That's right. Billy Club.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting, Jim. We got some good intel about the blue cards that Crean's always.
It's almost like you've got an offensive coordinator up in the booth kind of sending down things or, you know, something like that. Like maybe his brother-in-law's football influence.
Oh, could be.
That's a good point.
I know that the Harbaugh family has tried to be influential on Coach Crean's coaching styles in the past, especially his wife that we've heard.
With that point, I guess Indiana might need a new offensive coordinator and a new defensive coordinator.
Maybe so. What else do you have for us tonight, Jim?
Well, I don't know. You sound like you saw my little tweet there. I was just trying to get some sparks going here.
Yeah, when will they go to the Final Four, and is Crean the guy to get them there, Chad? It's a kind of yes or no, yes or no. Or when and yes or no, I guess.
I guess my one follow-up on that is, are they happy being a top 25 team, or do they want to be a championship team, and is he the guy that's getting the championship?
No, most of the fan base is not happy about that. Performance the past 5 years has been better than the last 20 years. There's no doubt about that. You can't deny that. Is Tom the guy? I just don't know. It's a take two steps forward a lot of times and three steps back. I will say that this team, don't sleep on this team, though. Because this is a talented team. And sometimes you never know. Some things will happen. There could be some chemistry issues that we don't know about. I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be a crazy year. I don't know. I'm going to be in the middle of the road on that because I just don't. I'm leaning the other way saying no right now, Jim, but you never know.
Hey, Jim, we really appreciate the call.
Yeah,
we appreciate
back,
your support of Red Blue Hoops, and we're going to go to our final break of the night.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
All right, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops Season 3 here at WNIN. Give us a call at 812-426-7400 or
tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. And Evan, this show is flying by, isn't it?
It's crazy. It's crazy how fast it goes. We love our fan interaction. This is going back to our 30th anniversary segment. This is from our good friends out in the Newburgh area, Brian and Sharisa Gray. They text in that says they met 30 years ago.
Okay.
And they're still happily married with two beautiful
daughters. Congratulations on that.
Oh, Walker says it could be the curse. I don't know. That's Aaron.
A relationship starting is not going to be a curse. I think
Aaron's call starts a part of the segment. We have to keep going. Was there a curse in 87 started? See, it's a whole new – I never even thought about that. So thanks to Aaron bringing that up.
Yeah, that's a good point. I will throw something out for Indiana fans that will remember this, but the thing that changed the course of history for Indiana basketball, in my humble opinion – is the Allen Henderson knee injury in 1993.
Oh, yeah.
Indiana was the best team in the country.
They
Calvert's
were rolling.
Senior year, rolling.
Kentucky was awfully good that year, too.
They were good.
Mashburn.
They were good.
We beat Indiana and Louisville that year.
You did.
But you guys were good.
Yes.
Very good.
And it was Knight's deal. Every 5 or 6 years, he would go to the Final Four and win a national championship.
Yep.
And that injury happened with Henderson. We weren't big enough after that and didn't get it done. And then Knight... After that, it just went
almost like a nosedive.
It really did. And had he won a title there, he probably recruiting still comes in. He retires more on top, and the whole complexion of Indiana basketball changes. There's no Kelvin Sampson. There may not be a Tom Crean.
Yeah, that's true.
So
Tom Crean could be at Kentucky.
Yeah,
like when Gillespie was hired.
Absolutely.
Was Crean on the market then? Like in when did Crean start at IU?
07, 08, or 08, 09.
So we hired Gillespie in 07. Oh, so that would be freaky.
Yeah. Whew. Creamy Tom.
I'm glad we dodged that bullet. No, but thanks to our fans, Brian and Sharisa, meeting 30 years ago. I would like to hear the story on actually how they met, but I think they met at some way through Castle High School.
Okay.
Yeah. So Brian's an avid IU fan. In fact, I think he's been to the last two home games. Walker, do you remember that? Yeah,
whoa,
I think so.
Whoa, yeah. He's been to the last two home games?
I think so.
What's happened in those games?
Loss.
There could be a curse.
I feel sorry. Brian's one of my best friends. I feel sorry for him.
Come on, hey, Brian.
I think it was, I don't know if it was show or season one or two, but we introduced, I think it was last year, the Red Blue Hoops Index.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, because
put it together.
When this show started, there was a lot of debate about which mathematical index should you follow. Is it KenPom, which is, again, rising as the most, I guess, recognized mathematical.
Reputable.
Ranking system. So we took KenPom. We added BPI, which stands for Basketball Percentage Index. We added RPI, Ratings Percentage Index, mm-hmm. and then the Sagarin. So we blended those four together and did an average to come up with the RBH Index. And right now, Indiana's RBH index is 62.7, which is not good.
Mm-hmm.
And I went over the numbers with Chad before the show started. Indiana's KenPom ranking right now is 29. The Sagarin ranking is 25. This is the one that made me fall out of my chair. Their RPI ranking is 134th.
Yep.
Which I didn't dig in to see what drove them down like that, but that's astonishing. The BPI index, folks, is currently offline. They're retooling it. And if you go to the ESPN website, it says it'll be back up early 2017. So this week we only have 3 of the 4 data points. Kentucky's RBH index is 2.3. They're ranked 1, 4, and 2 in those 3 indexes, so pretty strong. So that leads me to my next question for mm-hmm. you, Chad. A lot of talk on Twitter and social media about Indiana's strength of schedule or lack thereof.
Yep.
Right now in KenPom, IU strength of schedule is 253rd in the nation. Kentucky is 50th. Any comments about your strength of schedule and Tom Crean's strategy of his scheduling?
Well, I think I was telling you off the air, we try to schedule this team to the south of Indiana, Kentucky, but they won't sign up. So
that's right.
That could help us. But anyway.
That would help a lot.
That would help a lot. But, you know, you're right. That playing too many cupcakes Crean needs to look at maybe an MVC, a couple of Valley teams, go have Illinois
like
State come
State
into town. Wichita State will play anybody anywhere.
Yeah.
Greg Marshall will do that. And yeah, maybe from a preparation standpoint, yeah, they get up for the big games, the North Carolinas,
especially
Kansas,
in the hall, Simon Hall,
especially in the hall. But you know, some of those games where, say, Butler, where they're just going to play hard and it pushes us, and then we lost those games, and now I think it's just more of a confidence problem than anything. But had we been able to put a couple stronger games in there, maybe it helps. I don't know. Every season's different. But I know as a fan, I don't enjoy beating people by 35 points. I like good games.
Absolutely. Well, interestingly enough, you know, the SEC weak basketball conference here lately.
Mm-hmm.
And the new SEC commissioner has stepped in, and he has set forth some new guidelines where the conference office reviews schedules before they're finally approved, and they are trying to avoid that type of scheduling by SEC teams. Try to get the strength of schedules up so when the
– tournament helps for the tournament later, the resumes. Yeah.
It's huge. We have some more fan interaction here, folks, on our Twitter account. Hey, this is part of the Victoria Bluffs crew, my good neighbor Tom Slade. He says, Crean seems to struggle with developing post players with great talent. Zeller, Vonleh, Bryant, your thoughts?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think those guys struggle with footwork and all that kind of thing is good, but a lot of times teams will body up against those guys. And use their strength and sometimes even their length. And, yeah, he does struggle to get them in ball in situations where they can score. I would agree with that.
Zeller was a super talent.
He was a super talent. But Crean's offense did not show – a lot of times those guys don't get isolated close to the bucket. Too many times you see Bryant at the three-point line, and even Cody would do that as well. And Vonleh was – I didn't follow Noah too much, but – they're not in the spots to score. If you're a five, you're on the block. You're back to the basket.
Here's a great question about player development. What has happened to Noah Vonleh? I haven't heard about him since he left Indiana.
He's playing for Portland. He was a lottery pick.
Yeah.
And not doing much, but
okay.
20 years old. 20,
still young
21,
gun.
22. Yeah, he's a young guy.
Phone line's lighting up.
I love it.
Our favorite part. Hey, Coach from Murray, Kentucky, welcome to Red Blue Hoops Season 3. Go ahead.
All right, Evan and Chad.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about Calipari as an in-game coach. The thing that amazes me is that year after year after year, he's usually starting three or four new players.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids come in from all over the country. They're the top players in their states. They're the top players in the country. And he gets them to play together. I mean, they work hard, they play hard, and as far as I could tell, there's nobody, you know, complaining about I'm not getting the ball enough. And but every year they play together, and that's very, very hard to do.
Yeah, I can't deny that. He does that. He is the best coach in the country on the one and done. There's nobody even close with that. Coach K has began to do that. But what's always impressed me about Calipari on that end is what you said with the team cohesiveness. They share the ball, and they play defense normally. This year's maybe a little different.
A little slower developing on defense this year.
Most of those teams play hard, and I think Calipari does a great job of preaching the vision of getting these guys to the NBA, and they believe, and he runs with it. He's innovative on that stuff. He really is.
Well,
yes.
Like my brother always says, the proof is in the pudding, and boy, he has the proof.
He does.
I mean, his resume at UK is undeniable.
It is.
He's got, you know, there's 24 UK players in the NBA right now.
There is.
And I think there's four players up for the All-Star voting as of today. So,
and some big-time players.
Yeah, absolutely. Huge. But, Coach, anything else for Red Blue Hoops tonight?
Well, one thing, you know, Chad mentioned that the loss of Yogi Ferrell was like a loss of a coach on the floor. Last year at UK, Tyler Hulis, who filled that position, for UK, and I mean, he really, really, you know, ran the show on the floor, which was a very big help to Cal.
Yeah, no question about that. I agree 100%.
And one other comment, and I'll get off the air here.
Okay.
You know, you were talking. Somebody mentioned this thing about getting in trouble and maybe losing some stuff. When's the NCAA going to do anything about Carolina? Dean Smith's been dead for three or four years now. It's okay to do it.
That's a,
We could have a whole show dedicated to my North Carolina rant, my Louisville rant.
Yeah, you've hit a hot button with Chad on that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and a lot of actual basketball fans. Coach, we greatly appreciate the call and your support of Red Blue Hoops, but North Carolina has been, I guess it's been basically confirmed, of academic fraud for 30-plus years.
30-plus years.
Dating back to Dean Smith. And
Indiana was winning a national title.
That's right.
And they were cheating.
That's exactly right. That's true. Very well said. But so now I guess they just received their third notice of allegations.
Right.
So that may give a sign that things are getting a little bit more serious between North Carolina and the NCAA. So if Carolina had won the title last year, what happens to that banner? Or how about the two they won during this period?
05 and 09.
So the NCAA has never stripped a school of a national championship. So are they going to do that? See, that's the kind of – they've always said that. Like Cal Perry at Memphis with the Derrick Rose thing, he was ruled eligible twice by the clearinghouse,
right,
allowed to play.
Right.
The season's over. It's a full year later. They come back and strip Memphis of the Final Four. If Memphis had won the championship, they would not have done that.
That's interesting.
It's a crazy NCAA, I guess, theory or strategy how they approach discipline. But in my opinion, it's just crazy. If that had been Indiana or Kentucky with 30 years of academic fraud, our teams would not be playing basketball right now. Death penalty.
Kelvin Sampson texted folks.
Yeah.
Which is now legal in the NCAA on how they handle that. And we had to endure program changes that don't happen to other teams for
years.
Yeah,
3 years of impact. Of direct
which
impact.
Which actually turns into probably eight.
Yeah,
that's
right.
You know,
long-term impact of that.
Yeah.
No. So, anyway, again, phone calls 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Speaking of Twitter, we have JP Flex sends a question in here for you, Chad. IU has played with inconsistent play. What do they need to change to get solid play?
I saw the easiest stat today. So Kentucky, North Carolina, and UCLA, and Duke, I think, all have four players that average 30 or more minutes a game. So in my mind, that tells me they're playing their best players.
Yes, they are.
Which I coached kids growing up, some of my family, and you tend to play your best players. You want to win the game,
right? Establish a rotation. Especially we're in early January and you have that.
Absolutely. So Tom Crean has not figured that out. And you know, some of that's on him, but I think I was telling you this off the air. Some of it, too, is on the players not being the obvious choice of who should be getting these minutes.
Yeah.
So he needs to figure that out. They need to establish some kind of point guard. They're relying on Newkirk, and he's really not the answer.
He struggled.
He's not the answer. So Blackman and Johnson, Robert Johnson's got to pick it up, tighten the rotation, and play the players that play hard. And I think that'll help. It's not an easy answer, though.
You know, speaking of Newkirk, you guys hosted Nebraska on the 28th, actually the day that Walker turned 16, and he had a birthday function at Zookie's, and we came home, and he had 10 of his friends with us.
Yeah.
It was interesting. It was like 60% Indiana fans and 40% Kentucky fans in the room. And Allison and I were behind watching the kids watch the IU-Nebraska game, listening to the banter. It was kind of interesting. But late in the game, you guys had a chance, I think, to tie the game. And Newkirk dribbled to the right corner.
Absolutely.
Dead corner, picked the ball up.
Yeah.
That's basketball
101.
Exactly. That's a dead zone.
And threw it right away.
All the corners. Whether it's the baseline corner or the half-court corner, you cannot pick your dribble up right there.
And I think that might have been out of a timeout even, too.
It was.
I mean, that's the thing.
It was a full-court inbound.
Yes.
He came down, went to that spot, turned, and threw it right to Nebraska. Game over.
Yeah, game over. Crazy.
Well, tell you what, folks, the show is flying by. We greatly appreciate all your phone calls, your Twitter comments and questions. It's time for us to switch gears and go to a little bit of a local basketball flavor. This is our U of E USI segment. And Chad, tell us what's going on with the University of Evansville Purple Aces.
Yeah, the Aces coming off kind of a rebound year, losing a lot of guys from last year. Actually had a 7-game winning streak so far this year. Currently 10-6. They did lose a game in the Valley last night over at the Ford Center. Game they probably should have won. But 10-6, 1-2 in the Valley. And I think they're the fourth or fifth best team in the conference. So not bad losing Ballantyne.
They lost a ton of,
and Big E last year.
Ton of production from last year's team. Well, shifting gears to the USI Screaming Eagles, they came into the season unranked. A lot of new talent joining the Screaming Eagles team this year. Again, Division II, they're up to number 17 in the poll. They're 12-0 undefeated. They're actually playing tonight at 7:30 at the PAC. They're hosting William Jewell College. And this Saturday, 3:15, they host Rockhurst, which I love that name, Rockhurst,
yeah,
for some reason. But
yeah,
a couple quick things. They're averaging 97 points a game. Their average margin of victory, 28.6 points. So the Screaming Eagles are playing a very entertaining style of basketball.
They are.
For
Need
sure.
To check them out.
Yeah. So anyway, there's the U of E USI segment for your folks on the local flavor. And Chad, we're coming up to about 90 seconds left here on the show. Show one of season three. It's flown by. It's been a great time.
It has. Just a couple things on upcoming games. IU Indiana plays Illinois on Saturday. Dad and I got dad tickets for Christmas.
That's perfect.
Yeah. So we're going to go up there and watch them play and hopefully be a part of the game where the season turns. Not a curse. That's right. So, three games in the next week for Indiana: Illinois at Maryland Tuesday and Rutgers next Sunday. That is three games they have to have. That's two of three at home, and they should be favored in all three. It's easy to say it, but they need those games bad.
They do.
So
no question
about
it.
Who you guys got?
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Kentucky is hosting Arkansas, and we still have tickets available.
That's right.
If anyone would like to make a pledge for $200 to WNIN. But then next Tuesday we go back on the road. We go down to Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt, again, they're rebuilding this year, but as you know, Memorial Coliseum,
that one
of the toughest places to play in college basketball. But, you know, Kentucky right now, they're improving. They're just finishing Camp Cal when they're, you know, out of school and doing those 2 or 3 day sessions, and I see a team getting a little bit better defensively. They were playing about 20 to 25 minutes of good ball per game. They're improving that, so they're getting better. So, hey, folks, again, thanks for tuning in to Red Blue Hoops. Tune back in next Thursday. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Samantha Horton. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.